Welcome to my podcast. You are listening to a summary of Google Inc. and Vidal Hall and the Information Commissioner in the Court of Appeal. The appeal was brought by three claimants. It was before Lord Dyson, Lord Justice Macfarlane, and Lady Justice Sharp. The decision was unanimous. The facts. The case involved three claimants who were using Apple Safari to access the internet. They became aware that Google was collecting information about their internet usage from their browsers without their knowledge or consent through the use of cookies. The cookies allowed Google to recognize the browser sending browser-generated information. Google was able to obtain information about websites visited, the date websites were visited, the duration they were looked at, specific web pages, advertisements viewed, and the user's IP address. This information was then aggregated by Google and given to advertisers as part of a commercial offering. This meant that advertisers could select advertisements that were tailored to the individual's interests and display these to them. The claimants said that their browser-generated information revealed private and personal information about them. For example, the information collected could relate not only to their shopping habits, but could also reveal their sexuality, political affiliations, religious beliefs, trade union membership, mental health, among other things. They started proceedings for misuse of private information, breach of confidence, and breach of the Data Protection Act 1998, or DPA. The claimants alleged that as a result of the use of this private information and breach of confidence, their personal dignity, autonomy, and integrity had been damaged. However, they had not suffered any pecuniary loss and claimed damages instead for anxiety and distress. Compensation was also claimed for breach of Section 13 of the DPA. At first instance. As Google is a corporation registered in the US and the claimants are domiciled in England, it was necessary to obtain permission to serve proceedings outside the jurisdiction under CPR 6.36 and 6.37. This required the claimants to show that their case fell within one of the grounds set out in paragraph 3.1 of Practice Direction 6B. The claimants relied on the injunction gateway in paragraph 3.1 subsection 2 for the claim for breach of the DPA, which is appropriate for claims to prevent a defendant from doing an act within the jurisdiction. They relied on the tort gateway in paragraph 3.1 subsection 9 for the claims for misuse of private information and breach of confidence, which is appropriate where damage is sustained within the jurisdiction or results from an act committed within the jurisdiction. On the 12th of June 2013, Master Yoxall granted such permission to the claimants. The defendant applied to set aside the decision, arguing that there was no good, arguable case that the claims met the test and that there was no serious issue to be tried. On appeal in the High Court, Mr. Justice Tugendhat was, in his view, bound by the decision in Kai Technology and Unicor to hold that breach of confidence was not a tort. He decided, however, that misuse of private information was a tort and so came within the gateway. He also held that damage in CPR Practice Direction 6B, paragraph 3.1 subsection 9, meant damage that was applicable to the tort. Damages for distress are recoverable in an action of misuse of private information, and therefore that part of the claim fell within that gateway. In his judgment, the claimants had established that there were serious issues to be tried as to whether browser-generated information was private information. In regards to the claim for breach of the DPA, the judge gave the claimants permission to rely on the tort gateway. The information constituted personal data for the purposes of the Act, and Section 13 did not require proof of pecuniary loss. The defendant appealed to the Court of Appeal on this decision in relation to four issues. First, is misuse of private information a tort for the purposes of service of proceedings out of the jurisdiction? Second, can there be a claim for compensation without proving pecuniary loss in relation to damage under Section 13 of the DPA? Third, does browser-generated information as personal data under the DPA constitute a serious issue to be tried? And finally, in relation to the claims for misuse of private information and under the DPA, is there a real and substantial cause of action? The Court of Appeal. Question 1. For the tort gateway, is misuse of private information a tort? In short, the answer is yes. Lord Dyson and Lady Justice Sharp, at paragraph 21 of their judgment, highlighted the problems with an analysis that fails to distinguish between a breach of confidentiality and an infringement of privacy rights protected by Article 8. The concepts of privacy and confidence are different. They protect different interests. Breach of confidence is a cause of action that protects secret or confidential information. Misuse of private information protects privacy. They went on to comment on this area of law as a developing area of law, but one where it is clear that there are now two separate and distinct causes of action, an action for breach of confidence and another for misuse of private information. Their Lord and Ladyship reviewed the following cases to highlight where misuse of private information has been established as a tort. First, the speech by Lord Nicholls and Campbell. In particular, at paragraph 14, Lord Nicholls said that there was an awkward formulation of the duty of confidence and that the essence of the tort is now better encapsulated as misuse of private information. In the cases of Douglas and Hello, OBG and Allen, Mainstream Properties and Young, Lord Nicholls said at paragraph 255, that the law has developed two distinct causes of action, misuse of confidential information and breach of confidence. In McKennet and Ash, Lord Justice Buxton, with whom Lord Justice Longmore and Lord Justice Latham agreed, explicitly described and approved of the rechristening of the tort of breach of confidence in Campbell as the misuse of private information. In Murray and Big Pictures, such relabeling was similarly approved. In Immerman and Schengers, Lord Neuberger described the misuse of private information as a tort after assessing the extension of the law of confidence by Campbell. At the end of this review, at paragraph 43 of this judgment, their Lord and Ladyship stated, "We cannot find any satisfactory or principled answer to the question why misuse of private information should not be categorised as a tort for the purposes of service out of the jurisdiction. Misuse of private information is a civil wrong without any equitable characteristics. We do not need to attempt to define a tort here, but if one puts aside the circumstances of its birth, there is nothing in the nature of the claim itself to suggest that the more natural classification of it as a tort is wrong." Questions 2 and 3. Can there be a claim for compensation for distress under the DPA without pecuniary loss? And is browser-generated information personal data? Yes, and yes was the answer. Section 13, subsection 2 of the DPA states that an individual who suffers distress as a result of a breach is entitled to compensation if the individual also suffers damage by the breach. The DPA was intended to implement the Data Protection Directive, which is a directive aimed at safeguarding privacy rights in relation to the processing of personal data. According to Article 23, member states shall provide compensation to a person who has suffered damage as a result of unlawful processing of their data. The principal questions here were whether the decision in Johnson and Medical Defence Union meant that damage in Section 13, subsection 1 is pecuniary loss unless the circumstances in 13, subsection 2 are met, and whether it is binding authority. The further question was whether damage in Article 23 includes non-pecuniary loss. Their Lordships and Ladyship concluded that the interpretation of Section 13 in Johnson was obiter and not binding. The Court of Appeal then went on to assess the interpretation of legal terms in EU law. In the ECJ decision in Leitner and TUI Deutschland, a case concerning compensation in relation to package travel, the term damage was given a wide interpretation, as it was found that the directive was intended to cover all types of damage where there was a causal link. There, extending the concept of damage to include non-material damage was accepted. Lord Dyson and Lady Justice Sharp concluded that the same approach to construction should be applied to Article 23 of the directive, giving it a natural and wide meaning to include non-material damage. They highlighted three main reasons for this to be so. First, the aim of the Data Protection Directive is to protect privacy rather than economic rights, which would be at odds with the restrictive interpretation of damage. Second, it would be irrational to treat EU data protection law as permitting a more restrictive approach to the recovery of damages than those available under Article 8 of the Convention. And third, Article 8 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union makes specific provision for the protection of the fundamental right to the protection of personal data. Restricting the meaning of damage would mean a data controller could act with relative impunity in regards to personal data, as in most cases, a breach does not lead to financial loss. Given the clear wording of Section 13 of the DPA, the Court of Appeal decided that they could not interpret Section 13, subsection 2, compatibly with Article 23. Article 47 of the Charter requires an effective remedy in respect of a breach and has horizontal direct effect. Therefore, the Court was compelled to disapply Section 13, subsection 2, and compensation for any damage suffered as a result of a breach is recoverable under Section 13, subsection 1. The defendant argued that browser-generated information on its own is anonymous and is segregated data, and therefore cannot be personal data for the purposes of the DPA. This argument failed. The Court of Appeal decided that it was arguable that it constitutes personal data, as it is supported by the terms of the directive, the working party's opinion, and the ECJ's decision in Linkfist, all of which support the idea that identification in technological terms is not limited to someone's name. The further argument put forward by the defendant was that it was not possible to argue that there was the potential identification of the individual claimants by combining the advertisers sending specific advertisements and the knowledge of third parties of the claimant's particular devices. The Court of Appeal decided that this was an issue left to be determined after a full argument at a trial. Question 4. Is there a real and substantial cause of action? The defendant put forward the argument that the judge was wrong to conclude that the claims were justified in light of the high cost and use of court resources of a trial and should have been seen as an abuse of process. They argued that the alleged incursion by the use of cookies does not cross the Article 8 threshold of seriousness, and damages recovered would be so modest that litigation would be disproportionate. The Court of Appeal disagreed, quite forcefully. At paragraph 137, this is what they thought. These claims raise serious issues which merit a trial. They concern what is alleged to have been the secret and blanket tracking and collation of information, often of an extremely private nature, as specified in the confidential schedules, about and associated with the claimant's internet use and the subsequent use of that information for about 9 months. The case relates to the anxiety and distress this intrusion upon autonomy has caused. In regards to the cost, it was found that some of the technical issues relating to this claim had already been dealt with by the defendant in other claims against it, and that furthermore, appropriate control of costs could be achieved through case management. Case comment. The decision in this appeal was significant because it has made it possible to bring a claim for breach of the DPA even where there has only been distress and no financial loss. Google appealed to the Supreme Court on this aspect. However, it was withdrawn following agreement between the parties. The finding that Section 13, Subsection 2 of the DPA is incompatible with the Data Protection Directive will for the time being stand. Another interesting finding in this appeal is that simply because the damages that would have been awarded if the claimants had succeeded at trial would have been small, this did not mean that the claims should not have been brought. The principle at issue was considered important enough by the Court of Appeal to be justified, despite the high costs of the litigation. Thank you for listening to my podcast. The references to the cases mentioned in this podcast are available on my website, www.privacylawbarrister.com.